I really believe that our church needs faithful and well-formed leaders. So our sponsor, the Augustine Institute, offers master's degree in theology, pastoral theology, and Catholic education that I want to point you to. They are rooted in scripture and tradition, offered online, so it's easy to get this degree, or on campus if you want to be in person, or in a hybrid format if that's what works best for you. Here, you'll be equipped to teach, lead, and evangelize clearly and confidently. Augustine Institute graduates are leading today's church in parishes, dioceses, schools, and apostolates, and you could be next. So learn more and apply at augustine.edu.
Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Welcome back to Ever Be, everybody. Today's podcast is going to be one that I am so pumped about because if you've been listening for a while, you know I've just been getting into all things like holistic living, holistic nutrition, clean living, all the things. We are here to optimize our health and wellness. And Flo is going to help us do this today. So Flo, welcome to Ever Be.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
I would love for you to just kind of start out by telling us who you are and what do you do?
Yes. So I'm Florencia. I'm the founder of The Catholic Nutritionist, and we are a Catholic women's health practice specifically for Catholic women who want to optimize their health through a holistic lens and without destroying their relationship with food. So we care a lot about really seeing food as a gift and as a blessing, and how do you use it strategically while also having a lot of peace and freedom?
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Can you just kind of dive a little bit about into your journey? Like, how did you even start this? What was the journey that led you from, I know we talked about you being a missionary, and I read a little bit about this on your website. You know, what was the journey that took you from being an exhausted missionary, which I can relate. Anybody in ministry can relate to becoming a holistic nutritionist and a femme instructor. I know that you also do stuff in kind of the fertility realm. So share about what that journey was like.
I wish it was a cute story, but it's a lot of rock bottoms over and over, which is really like most people that you will meet in the health industry. It's a very similar, and that's why if someone like really cares all of a sudden, it's typically because they've gone through a lot. So for me, I call it this like terrible trifecta. It was like my Bermuda Triangle of my life was really horrible periods, devastating, long, excruciating, like, and just being told to get on birth control from the time I was like 14 on. That was my only option. Then really, really bad gut issues where it was like, well, then just stop eating meat. Wait, you can just eat meat. And like going back and forth and like just a lot of pain every single day. So really struggling with food from a symptomatic sense, but then also struggling with food with a very long history of disordered eating and very disordered body image. And so this little Bermuda Triangle, my little battleship finally sank actually my first year as a missionary because I just like spiraled a few different factors, which if you've ever struggled with disordered eating and you think that you'll be like, oh, it's like done. Like that's the kind of the mindset that I had, that I was like, oh, it's over. Like God healed that. That was something I struggled with in high school. We're past it. And it took me a really, really long time. And it took me hitting kind of rock bottom again to realize that this is like a scar that's always going to be on my heart. And sometimes scar tissue, it gets a little like, if it gets moved the wrong way, the pain opens back up. And that's kind of how I describe what happened there. So I kind of like plummeted into the worst things that I had ever done in terms of like how I was treating myself. And it wasn't until my second year, I got engaged in the middle of that, which is like a very bizarre season to be living when you're already like surviving. And then it was through like, I started tracking my cycle and my Creighton instructor, I remember her being like, oh, yeah, you need to go see a doctor. And that, like, my stomach dropped because it was, like, always something that I had, like, been confused and worried about. And I was so excited to track my cycle. But then to be told, like, oh, there's obviously things that are wrong with your hormones, but then not be told what to do about it, I found it, like, really distressing. And that was kind of the wake-up call that I needed, where the Lord was like, hey, like, what you're doing, like, literally goes against the way I designed your body to function. So I got, like, super into everything and really realized what the Lord's plan was. And then I was like, man, Catholic women of all women are the ones that should be, like, the heralds of this truth, the ones that are able to, like, scream this off the mountaintops. So I quit, went back to school, and then here we are.
Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. Sounds like a rocky road you were on, but you're so right when you talk about how, like, the people that know so much, or the people that really care, or the people that are really in the wellness industry, I think especially there to, like, help with all of this kind of stuff, is because they went through it themselves. They experienced life before and life after. It's kind of like your own little testimony, you know, like pre-Jesus, post-Jesus. Not that this is Jesus, but, you know, like, you've experienced what life was like before, and then you actually work towards finding healing, and now you're experiencing the freedom afterwards, which is so amazing. So first of all, thank you for the work that you do. I bet that you're just helping so many women. And I think just the story you just shared, probably so many listeners can relate to one or several parts of that journey. None of these are, like, one-off situations that, you know, you're weird for experiencing that. I think it's very, unfortunately, very common. So thank you for sharing that. I'm curious, when was the turning point that you feel like you had where you realized, oh, my body's not just broken or bad? You know, there's actually just something deeper that's going on that I just haven't found out yet.
It was I like that you, thank you for asking it that way, because, like, it truly was this battle and this war against my body of being like, oh, it is just, I guess it's broken. And, like, why does it always feel like it's working against me? And there was a very distinct turning point at Leanne Bowen's Ranch. You know Leanne?
Yes.
Okay. She's an artist. We love her. And she, like, was so gracious and had a bunch of the women missionary over to her ranch for a little retreat, which we needed desperately.
Right.
And that's the good thing about a retreat, is that it, like, pulls you out of your environment where you can, like, start to think and breathe again. And I was living in, like, Long Beach, California, which is very tight city, very busy. And it was, like, COVID. So it was a very unpleasant time to live in a city. So we go out to, like, this beautiful green rolling hills. And at one point she shared her testimony, like, right in the beginning when we got there, she shares her testimony. And part of it is, like, that one saying of, like, what will you do with this one wild and precious life? And it was that, reflecting on that, that then led her into her art business and, like, really giving her heart to the Lord in many, many other ways. And I remember hearing that question and, like, being sad and hearing the question and being like, oh, like, why does it feel like I'm, like, not living right? Like, I just got married. I'm, like, doing the job that I wanted to do for years. I'm living in a city that I thought that I wanted to live in really bad. Like, all these things are, like, good, but why does it feel like I'm, like, totally, my life is, like, passing me by, or I am just, like, not living it the way that God wants me to? And so I was just, like, immediately thrown into despair, almost, of being like, you know, when something hits you and then you're just, like, in your own world. And so I remember, like, walking through the fields. She, like, took us on a walk to look at it's a cattle ranch that they live on. And she took us on a walk through the fields, and I'm, like, staring down at the grass, and I'm like,
oh no.
I feel like if little me met me, if, like, 7-year-old me met me, she'd be like, what are we doing?
Like, she's like, lost girl.
And, like, on the outside, everything's going great. But I feel like only she would know, because she'd be like, why are you so sad? Like, why do you cry every day? And, like, why are you, like, destroying your body and, like, all of these different things? And so it really was this huge gut check of being like, man, Lord, like, I feel like if 7-year-old me met me, she would be disappointed. And, like, how did you even make my heart? Like, that heart that I had as, like, a little girl, like, what's even in it? Because now I feel like I just, like, layered all these other things of, like, other people's expectations or things that I thought might be cool, but maybe didn't, like, actually align with who I am. And so then I was like, I literally don't know how to pray through this. but they had adoration in her living room that night. And so I was like, I'm going to open Genesis. I was like, where else do you go but the very beginning when you have no idea what to do? So yeah. I opened Genesis 2 and I like reread the creation account. And I swear it was like I had never read it in my entire life. I like read it and it was like jumping off the page where I was like, oh my gosh, like everything we needed was in the garden. Like when we say, and this was like when that one song, I think it's Stephanie Gretzinger about like, this is the garden. That one was like really popular and I would listen to it a lot. And so I would like pray with this idea of the garden a lot.
Yeah.
And then I go into the garden in Genesis and I'm like, everything's there. Our vocation, yep. Like all I ever wanted was to get married. And now I have like the love of my life right next to me. And then he gives us like the animals to take care of. All I ever wanted was like a bunch of cows and horses and like every little girl. And then he's like the land to take care of and like all of the fruit off of the trees to eat. And I was like, oh my gosh, he gave us like, that's what a good life is. And I don't know if you remember this, but you were at that training. But at my first year summer training, Monsignor Shea gave a talk on the art of living well.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed my brain because
that whole summer that I was there with you, that whole summer changed my brain. So I'm like, I do remember that talk. I don't know if I specifically remember like the main points of that because I was also like, I don't know,
running working.
Like, yeah, that too. Everything up. It was just game changing for me. But anyways, keep going.
But he just kept talking about how he was like, you guys of all people should know how to live well and you should be an example.
Yes.
And like, I remember one of the examples he gave, he was like, do you know why I have like Rombauer Zinfandel at Chesterton's at the bar on campus? Like, do you know why we sell that there? Because I think it's one of the best wines in the world. And I need you to know what good wine tastes like before you go out onto a college campus and around people that are just like drinking to drink and to like drown themselves, you know, all these kinds of things. And I just like that year, I thought a lot about like, what does it mean to like rediscover the art of living well and to like live a life that's worthy of imitation. And just going through that again and being like, wow, like in the garden, that's like what living well is. And so then I was like, wait, I cannot be like at odds with my body and at odds with food if this is like a gift that he's given. It was like a very, very clear moment of being like, and then really being him being like, do you believe that you're made good? Like when I said that to you in the garden, like, do you believe that? And at that point, no, I couldn't say that I did, you know? But it was a journey that he was like trying to take me on. And that's, I think, why he let it like kind of crash and burn the way that it needed to in order that I would be like, Lord, I have to ask you again. Like, I feel like I just wasn't asking anymore.
Mm-hmm. That is incredible. I love that you had that moment. Like, I know you weren't like in the jungle or in a garden, but like in nature, in like
fields.
Out,
yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Fields. Like in creation, in God's like beautiful creation where he like brought you back to the garden and like his intention for you and your body and how good you are and how good his creation is and how he gave us everything that we needed. Sometimes we need to be like taken out of our day-to-day and our daily routine and our environment to actually feel like we hear God speak into our lives. So I'm not surprised that's when you had your like big aha moment.
Truly, truly. I think it's like, he's like, girl, we got to get you moving. We got to change the scenery so that your brain can be opened and your heart.
Totally, totally. Okay. So for those who might be unfamiliar with the term like holistic nutrition, how would you describe it? How is it different from maybe conventional approaches that people are more used to? And if you want to answer within that, who might benefit from this type of nutrition approach?
Yes, yes. Okay. I think one of the like starkest contrasts between holistic and or functional care and conventional care is that we are really working to see the person as a whole. And whereas like the common experience of a woman is like, oh, you have really bad periods. Okay, go ahead and go talk to your OB. And then when you're at the OB, you're like, yeah. And when my period starts, my skin freaks out. And they're like, oh, good. Then you should go talk to your derm. And then you're with the derm and you're like, hey, and I started this medication and it's like my stomach is like torn up. And they're like, maybe we should get you with the GI. Like we're just like used to being split up in a ton of like tiny pieces. And I feel like as women, it's so rare that we actually go to get care and have everything be tied together, which everything is. Like no system in the body works alone. Your cycle is not completely separate from your skin, and it's not completely separate from your gut, and it's not completely separate from like your mood and your mental health. Mm-hmm. Every single thing works as one and it influences each other. And so I feel like it's the only way that makes sense. And then in a particular sense, like as Catholics, I think it's the only way that makes sense and can really help to like honor creation when we see the whole. Of course, we need conventional medicine and Western medicine for a lot of things. But I do think having a holistic perspective just in our own lives really can help us kind of wash away a lot of the frustration of thinking that your body is broken and that it just doesn't make any sense. Whereas it's like, well, yeah, like we have to sum up the parts. We have to put it all together for everything to start to click. So holistic, I would really think, is just like whole person, putting together all the systems of the body. And we're looking for optimal health rather than only ever treating things when we're sick. And like how much of our sickness in our world and in our country right now is because of our nutrition and our lifestyle. Like how much of it is just because of the way that the daily habits that we have completely go against the way God created our bodies to function.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Do you feel your Catholic faith informs this approach? Like how does your Catholic faith influence the way you approach nutrition and wellness?
I love that. Well, one, we're all big. My whole team is all Catholics, actually all previous former missionaries. So like we all have very similar formation, which is really fun. We're all big TOB girlies. So good. Really theology of the body and the meaning, the spousal meaning of the body, and beginning to see that a lot of people do walk around like they're just wearing skin suits, souls with skin suits. Mm-hmm. When it's, that is like completely anti-Catholic. Like that is not how we see the body at all. But it's kind of this idea that it's like, oh, this is just a container. My soul is what's really, really holy and good, and that's worth taking care of. And it is honorable for me to like pray and go to confession and participate in sacraments. But we go to the opposite extreme, and then it's like, well, then it would be sinful or selfish or self-centered if I actually cared about the body as well. When really we have to like reintegrate the mind, the body, and the soul to like live a good human life. So that's a big thing about like reintegrating it. That's one of the biggest things that we work on with women is being like, hey, like you are totally allowed to care about this and you are so right to care about this. And that's actually one of the most generous things you can do as a Catholic woman, especially if you dream of like being a mom one day, or maybe you work in ministry and you serve so many people or whatever it may be, like your body's going to go with you. So you have to start paying attention.
Totally. And I love the whole concept of like integrating all together. And I think that's part of why I feel like the holistic and functional integrative approach is so in line with like a Christian worldview, because we do believe that it is all integrated. Like God didn't create all these parts to be separate from each other. They all inform each other. They all affect each other. And while we're going through physical healing with whatever it might be, like God is also working in our heart and in our soul to also have there be emotional healing and spiritual healing. And I mean, I've experienced that firsthand. Like we've shared our fertility journey online, and it has been a health journey, a long journey that we are like constantly like appointments, learning new things, testing, like learning new things about my body, my nutrition, hormones, how it all affects each other. And along the way, like I don't know how that could ever be separate from my emotional health and my spiritual health, because I'm inviting God into every step of the journey. And every time we find something new, offering it back to him and asking his guidance and asking him, like, everything he allows in our life is intentional. I'm like, why have you brought me here? What are you using this journey for? You know, where is there healing in this space as well as the physical, you know, space that you are providing for? So love that integration that you're bringing up. I think it's so important.
You could probably even speak to that, like with how much you've gone through in your health journey in the past few years of like it. Yeah. The Lord allows it. And for whatever reason, he's like, hey, this is actually one of the best ways that I can reach this very specific part of your heart. Like with every single test that you do or every change that you do, like you uncover different parts that you're like, oh, I would have never known this about myself. I would have never known how little I trust you if I didn't have to go through this. Or I would have never known like how quick I am to like turn on you and to like get resentful if I don't get what I want, you know, like. It's he really uses like the bodily weakness and the healing journey to be like, hey, like now we're going to go to a separate part of your heart that we've never gone to before. And like, this is the time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Gosh, I feel like we could do a whole podcast episode just on that. That is so good. Let's shift gears a little bit to talk about feminine health, femininity, because I know that's a big part of your mission as well. So you talk a lot about honoring the feminine body, seeing it as good and beautiful. So can you share more of like, what is your heart behind this? And how does this tie into the specific work that you do?
Well, really, one, I'm a girl's girl. I was raised by girls. I'm around girls. Like, I only ever want to talk to girls. Obviously, I love my husband. But there's just, like, something about the feminine heart and the feminine mind. I think it's the best thing in the world. The dilemma is when you start to see being a woman as being a curse just because of, like, what you're experiencing in your body. Or sincerely, like, your femininity is on attack every single day. Every single day. Like, it is one of the devil's favorite things. And, like, why could that be? Like, could it be that, like, you're the crown of creation and you're also the heart of your home? And so if, like, the devil can reach you, if the devil can reach a woman's heart and be like, hey, you need to be obsessed about how you look. The whole point of your life is to be as small as possible. Everything you do is not good enough. And so you actually need to be trying way harder all the time too. But don't be vain. And at the same time, like, make sure that everyone around you is constantly pleased. And, like, that vocation that God has promised you, yeah, you need to work for it and earn it. And, like, you can't actually trust that he has good things planned for you. Like, it's this, like, constant barrage that then it makes it be like, what is this? Like, is this what it is? And I remember, like, exhausting.
Yeah, that whole list is exhausting.
And it's, like, so real. And then on top of it, layer in that, like, once a month, you're, like, knocked out cold for 4 days.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, woken up in the middle of the night with horrible cramps. You know, like, that is a recipe for resentment against the Father. Mm. And that's, like, the whole plan. Like, that's the enemy's plan, is for you to, like, not trust that he is good and that you have a Father that wants to take care of you. And I just distinctly remember having a friend tell me once that she was like, gosh, like, my cycle feels like such a curse that I'm like, why did God do this to women? And I remember being like, oh, like, that, and this is a faithful woman. Mm-hmm. And to think that God is, like, just cursing us with the design of our body, that's where I think, like, understanding how your body works is so critical, because it's like, is it? Are you, like, doomed forever to horrible cramps? Which is what I thought. I was literally like, oh, it's just genetic and I just, like, have to suffer this forever. But I also was eating garbage and not eating enough and eating a lot of the wrong foods and not sleeping and never going outside. Like, so many factors that I was choosing that I just didn't know were causing that. So I think in order to, like, truly, truly embrace the Lord's creation, he made us man and woman. And, like, what does it mean to be a woman? And what does it mean to be a woman of faith and to, like, delight? I feel like he, like, was probably like, oh, man, I, like, can't wait for them to figure out this far. And, like, just the way that, like a good man will delight in the woman in front of him and be like, oh my gosh, like, he can't, like, the way that men point out little things about women that you're like, oh, like, I never would have noticed that. Or, like, with your husband, he'll say things and you're like, oh, you think that's cute? Like, I never would have seen it, because it's like, we're just so used to it. It kind of becomes old news. But I think having, like, that awe and wonder again to repair the relationship with our own bodies and with our Lord is really critical. And also, in a world, let's be real, like, in a world that's telling you that, like, there's no such thing as man and woman and that, like, you can do whatever you want and none of it matters and that this doesn't have any meaning. But it's like, actually, we need to put all the meaning back into it. And part of that is, like, what is the design? Like, what is the design that the creation sings about the creator?
Yeah. I feel like so many women that are, I just heard you say all that, probably just feel so heard and comforted, because, like you said before, a lot of them probably have gone to the doctor and the only answer they got was birth control. And so they probably just felt like, oh, my body, my femininity is something to be suppressed because it's clearly causing a problem and there's nothing I can do about it. And so you sharing all this is opening the door to the possibility of, like, maybe do I just not understand how it works and I'm not supporting it? Maybe there is a better way. Maybe I don't have to believe it's bad. Maybe I don't have to suppress it and try and get rid of it. Because that has all of the effects that come with it as well, besides just removing your cramps. So let's get into the women's cycle. Talk to me about the cycles. Why is it so important for women to understand their cycles? And how does this tie into their overall picture of their health?
Okay, stunning. Cool. One of my, like, 2025 resolutions was to go at the birth control industry's throat. So let's talk about birth control for a second. The way the hormonal birth control works is that it turns off your cycle, exactly what you were saying. Like, let's get rid of the problem altogether. We are literally throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And I will say, I had so many conversations with girls at Seek that they were like, I'm on birth control and I don't want to be. or I'm on birth control and I'm like so embarrassed of it, or I feel like I'm sinning. And I was like, wait, like that's not what's happening here. Like totally separate thing to be using birth control as a contraceptive versus like you are totally single and that's what your dermatologist gave you to clear up your skin. Very different scenario. So I feel like Catholic women are walking around with a lot of heavy burden of being like, this is my only option, but I know in my heart, only option, I have to do air quotes here, that is not your only option.
Right.
But they're being told that this is the only option, but at the same time, they're like, and it makes me feel awful. I feel like a shell of myself. I feel miserable. And yeah, maybe my skin is getting clearer. My cramps haven't been as bad, but like, this is not a long-term solution because I want to be a mom one day. Like, it just, nothing about it makes sense. So let's go back. It's kind of like starting with why. Have you read the book Start With Why?
No. What is it about? I haven't heard of it.
It's a really good business book. But it's all about like, you have to start with like the why in the beginning and then we work backwards.
Yes. I remember hearing talk about that growing up in school. So I might have been that guy.
It's him, Simon Sinek.
Okay. Yes.
It's really good. And the TED Talk is phenomenal.
TED Talk is great.
But he tells this story of like these American like car executives going to a Japanese car factory. And at the factory, they're like watching how they go through like the final steps of control and stuff. And so he sees that like one step that they do at all of their American factories, they're not doing at this Japanese factory after they put the doors on the car. And so he like turns to one of the workers and he's like, hey, when do you guys like check that the doors fit? Like at our factory, at the very end, when we put on the doors, we hammer to make sure that they fit correctly. And the Japanese worker is like, we make sure that the doors fit when we design it. Like, that we're not like figuring that out at the end. We started with that in the first place, right? That's the whole
concept. We're not hammering it, forcing it to go in. Like, you just make it correctly.
Yeah, you make it correctly. He's like, did you guys have to figure that out beforehand?
That's
so
funny.
Feel like that is such a good example of like the concept of like, instead of always working on like, well, what's the supplement that's going to fix my periods? Or should I be doing carnivore? Should I be fasting? Should I be vegan? Whatever it may be. And constantly trying to fix your problem. Your body isn't a problem to be fixed. Like, it's not. You are you are a person to be loved and to be understood. So like, let's understand how your body works first. And like I shared in the beginning, like my turning point was finally having data about my body that had nothing to do with how I looked. That was what was like, all I had ever known was to tear my body apart by like what I saw and that it wasn't enough or that things were too big or not small enough or whatever it may be. Lumps and bumps, like that's all my body was like for, to like kind of just tear apart in that way. But it was like when I finally started learning how to check my cycle, I was like, oh, there's like a lot more going on here. And I always call it like this, the feminine formula to like a healthy feminine body is safety and abundance. Like those two keys are critical. So like in order for you to have a healthy cycle, that's one example, or to have a healthy metabolism or a healthy fertility, whatever it may be, your body needs to know that it's safe. The feminine body does not do well in emergencies. And it needs to know that there's abundance. There are so many nutrients involved with you like ovulating. Mm-hmm. There's so many nutrients involved with you having energy throughout the day, right? There's so much sleep that you need that maybe like your brother, your dad, or your boyfriend don't need. It's just different. And so when we can kind of like hone in and say, well, let's have a data point of like, what is...
So I grew up Catholic and I didn't learn this life-changing habit until I was about 20. Daily time spent with Jesus in prayer, immersed in his living word. And honestly, I feel like a lot of us can relate to this because for me, it wasn't until someone actually taught me to pray with scripture and to see how God might be speaking to me through it and how I could apply it to my life that I realized my prayer was honestly shallow and lacked heart because I was just reciting words and not really talking to Jesus. Now, this person taught me that prayer wasn't just something that all Christians do, but it was actually the lifeline to my relationship with Jesus. Let me explain. I learned that the depth of my relationship with Jesus could be measured by the health of my prayer life. And for me, a 30-second Hail Mary wasn't much of a prayer life. But to be honest, I wasn't really taught how to pray with scripture growing up, and I just didn't even know where to start or how to open the Bible. This person took the time to teach me Lectio Divina, gave me a list of passages to start with, and challenged me to pray with one a day for 30 days. And they said to me, I promise if you do this, your life will be transformed. And they were right. After those 30 days, my life was never the same because for the first time, I actually began to know who Jesus was. And I want the same for you, which is why I created a brand new guide that breaks prayer down, teaches you the two forms of prayer that built the foundation of my prayer life, and outlines a 30-day scripture challenge with verses picked out for you. So all you have to do is show up. If you're ready to strengthen your relationship with Jesus and transform your life, check out my new guide, The Gospel Habit, to start doing so. I've got it linked in the show notes, or you can visit mariwagner.co/the-gospel-habit, or you can just DM me the word gospel on Instagram and I'll send the link your way. Spring cleaning just became a whole lot easier and cleaner, yes, pun intended, with Truly Free's Spring Cleaning Caddy Sale. This bundle includes 6 specialized cleaners: bathroom glass, everyday cleaner, odor and stain eliminator, heavy-duty degreaser, and a space freshener that I use all the time. It covers every cleaning need in your home, and the best part is that they're all non-toxic and eco-friendly, so you can keep your home fresh and safe without any of the harsh chemicals in Tide or Clorox or any of those things. And they're a Christian-owned company, which I love to support. Every packaging has a little Bible verse hidden in the back, so I challenge you to find those. I've been using Truly Free for all my cleaning for about a year now, and I love how effective and gentle their products are. And truly, I don't think I'm ever going back. I get asked often by my friends, do they really work? And here's what I tell them. I don't notice a difference between the toxic product or the non-toxic product, which means it's working, right? So now you can grab this complete caddy and try them all out at an amazing discount. It's only $39 for all of those products. So you're literally saving $112 through this sale. So don't wait. They have very limited quantities and it's only going to be available for a short amount of time. Head on over to my link in the show notes to get your cleaning caddy and prep for all the spring cleaning that is going to be stress-free and safe for your whole family.
What's happening inside of your body? Now we have this window into your whole health, and that's really what your cycle can be.
That is incredible. Like, and I feel like I can attest to that kind of enlightenment moment too, when you start learning about your cycle, because
isn't it crazy?
Yeah, like I started charting once I got engaged, and there's just so much information that can tell us about other parts of our hormones and our overall health. And I had heard it called, how many vital signs are there normally? 5?
Yes. Okay. The fifth vital sign.
This was the fifth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I had heard it called. Like, this is like your extra vital sign that like this will tell you something about like how you're doing. So it tells you a lot more besides just like, oh, when am I supposed to get my period?
And that's like the whole thing. Which, did you also think that you like, I don't know why, I like literally walked around thinking that I wasn't supposed to learn how to check my cycle until I got engaged?
I had never even heard about it. So like growing up, like I didn't know. And I had friends who even like kept track of like when their period came. I never did that. I was just like, really? One day it shows up and you're like, okay, here we go again. And that wasn't till I was engaged and started charting that I was like, okay, like now I know when everything happens.
Yeah. I probably didn't know what ovulation even was until I was in my like mid-20s.
I don't think I did either. And like when my practitioner was like, so like, when do you notice like this kind of mucus? And I was like, I don't know. I don't look at that. Like, what are you talking about?
Literally. And
it teaches you so much. It teaches you so, so much. Okay. We got to keep going because we could talk for forever. Next question I have for you, it is important. What are some of the biggest lies you feel like women have been told about their bodies or about food or about their cycle? And how do you help women rewrite those narratives in what you do?
Mm-hmm. The rewriting comes from understanding how God made you. And that like the frustration, the walls have to come down. Your body's not at war with you. Like your body's on the same team. All your body ever wants to do is like fend for your survival. So starting with that, I think is most important. But then the lies that we see is that my body is just broken. Whatever X symptom, it's genetic and I'm doomed to this for life. Birth control is my only option. Food is either something that I control or something that I indulge in, or it's an enemy rather than it being a gift from God and a sign of God's love for us. My weight is my worth. My ability to have children or my fear that my PCOS is going to keep me from being a mom makes me less of a woman. Mm. And I'm afraid that people won't want me if they find out that I have PCOS. Literal conversations that I have had. And it gives me chills because it is one of the most demonic things in the world. And I wish I could just like snuggle every single girl that feels like that and be like, you are good. And like, you are lovable, even with a little diagnosis on there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't want to minimize PCOS. It's rough. Like there's a lot of symptoms that are involved there. But like the way that the devil will warp anything about your body into it being like, well, you're not going to be lovable or you're not going to be wanted or like you're going to live a life alone. I've seen it. It's very, very dark. Or that you can't trust anybody and that you have to DIY this and you have to figure it all out by yourself. You have to become obsessed with being your own doctor because the people that failed you in the past were signs that everyone is going to fail you. And now there's no one that you can trust out there. That's another big, big lie I see with Catholic women in particular. And that's where, listen, I was a DIY girly. I would spend like 8 hours a day on Instagram being like, how do I put things together? And like, what am I supposed to be doing? Instead of just being like, how can I find someone to help me? But I genuinely didn't know. I didn't know what was possible. And I think I was just really wounded from like negative experiences. But I think those are some of the biggest lies that when we can be freed from them, that's where like healing begins. And that's when we talk about freedom, it means not just like, oh, I have the freedom from like sin and I go to confession regularly. Yes, I sure hope so. But like you are not free if the back of your head is 24/7 like screaming these lies about you and making your own life miserable. Like that is not freedom. And the Lord, I do really believe that he wants that for each and every one of us.
Yeah, I love that. And it just ties it back into the integration of body, mind, and soul. How as we're healing one, we'll find healing in the other, which is so important. So the work that you do is obviously in nutrition, which involves food. And I know that sometimes this can be a sensitive topic for people. People have a history with food, especially women, and can often be overwhelmed by, you know, diet culture and like what food is good to eat, what food is not good to eat. And now there's, like you said, so much information, I feel like online and on Instagram that you can go on there and just be instantly overwhelmed by like everything that you see about nutrition. So to you, you talked about freedom, right? So what does food freedom mean to you? And how can we all start to experience that?
It's like, okay, if you have seen food freedom online, this is what I'll tell you. I do not believe that it is. I had a conversation with someone earlier this year where she was like, I feel like I either go from like super restrictive, OMAD, intermittent fasting. I can only eat. I think she was, I don't know if she was doing carnivore or if she was like just doing a really restrictive diet, or I swing to like full intuitive eating where I shouldn't have any kind of rules and I should just eat what I feel like eating. Neither of those camps are freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If we have developed something that is so rigid that we cannot live a normal life, participate in the community that the Lord has given us, or it is our only obsession, and we are more obsessed with what we're eating and if we're going to be able to eat than with like the people in front of us, that is not freedom. And then I also don't think it's freedom to only ever eat what you feel like eating. And like, that's where I think intuitive eating can be taken too far, because it's like, sometimes you don't know what you ought to be eating to feel strong and healthy.
Yeah.
And there's like the idea that like there can be no rules ever. When it's like, yeah, no, maybe not rules, but certainly structure.
Yeah.
And in terms of like freedom, I think of like, if we're going to go back to the garden, and if you're going to be this tiny little sweet rose that is supposed to bloom and blossom and grow, a trellis is what gives enough structure that you can like climb upwards and be healthy and be strong and bloom even more.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is how I want you to see proper nutrition is it is simply a trellis. It is a tool. It is like bumpers that help keep you on the right path so that you can have energy all day, poop every day, have easy periods, like the things that you want to have a normal quality of life or a phenomenal quality of life. We do need a certain amount of structure. It's also kind of like the JP2 thing where he talks about like having the freedom to do what we ought.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I think about a lot with like mukbangers has gotten like really popular on like Instagram and TikTok of just like, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Like videos of people just eating a lot of food.
Oh, my brother, I think, was telling me about this. He's 16 and he's mentioned something like that. And I was like, what is that?
Kind of gross. Have him send you a couple, but it's like a very common thing now. Like there's this one girl that will go and order like, I don't know, 5 boxes from Wingstop and then like records eating it. I don't think she's actually eating all of it, but...
Okay.
there's this like very strange culture around food right now where it's like food is either only ever for pleasure or we need to be full carnivore and like cutting out all these things. What I think is like particularly freeing is like going back to scripture and being like, how does scripture talk about food? That was like a big deal for me that I was like, because I was vegetarian and then I was carnivore. And so I was like, I've done all the loony balloony things that I could be doing because I was just kind of desperate. But going back and being like, hey, well, the Lord like promised the Israelites the land of milk and honey. So like clearly that can't just be like the land of like inflammation and poison. So like I the way that I'm viewing food, like it doesn't always have to be so black and white and rigid, but there is like so much goodness in like the food that he gives us. But yeah, the reason why did I bring up the mukbangers? I think just because of the having enough structure to be like, oh, the freedom do we ought. Like just because I can go buy 16 boxes of canes and that might feel good for a moment, that doesn't mean that that's what's right. So I think marrying you of having like an enjoyable like relationship with food and like what do I like, what do I want to eat, with also being informed of like what is good for me.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, too much of a good thing can sometimes even be bad. And so with 100%. All things, moderation is important and structure actually helps us achieve freedom. It's not restrictive, but our current culture doesn't present it that way. Our current culture presents, you know, structure as something that's holding you back and tying you down and, you know, not letting you reach that full potential. So it's all about reframing that view. I know that you emphasize a foundations first approach. Can you share what are those foundational habits that you are passionate about?
Yes. Okay. If we're thinking about this temple of the Holy Spirit, building up this strong body, we cannot build anything unless we have a strong foundation first. And this is also what helps like dissipate the overwhelm of, oh my gosh, who do I believe? Like every single person is telling me something different. There's 10,000 different diets and 10,000 different methods. Like, how do I know what is true? That's one of the most common questions that I get. And this is where like the foundations are, these are the things that are essential for the human body to function. Period. Like, yes, there is nuance and you're an individual and there's going to be uniqueness that you need in terms of your like diet and habits. But having the foundations locked in first means that you have something firm to stand on and to build off of. So when I say foundations, this is also what like we do a little bit differently. I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner. So NTPs, like we're specifically trained in the foundations. And that being like the method to freedom. So that would be things like your blood sugar regulation. That is like a non-negotiable. And that's something I have like big beef with like Whole30 and stuff like that, because it just teaches you what not to eat instead of how to eat. And so people are like really good at following the list of like the do's and do nots, but it's like, what are you eating? Like, and like, do you know how to balance your blood sugar? Cause that like will take a lot of inflammation off your body. So that's one. Circadian rhythm is another critical foundation. Mineral balancing is huge. Your hydration is huge. All of those kinds of things that it's like, these are true across the board. And then you can spring off into like, okay, well, what are like the shingles, or like, what is the outside decoration of the house, which can be a little bit more unique to you.
What if somebody had to pick one of those to start with? If they're like, okay, I can't do all of them at once, like which one would you say is like, this is the most important one, or this is the one that I think you should start with? Which foundation?
Today, I'm going to say blood sugar. I usually say circadian rhythm. I'm going to say blood sugar today because it is, if you can lock in on that.
I'm feeling so big right now because in my doctor's appointment, literally this week, she was like honing in on blood sugar, and she recommended this blood sugar monitor thing to like start tracking. Yes. Oh my gosh. I haven't put it on yet. I'm like scared. I literally picked it up yesterday and I'm like, I don't want it to poke me. But she was like, no, it will give you so much. She was raving about it. She's like, it's going to give you so much information. She's like, I do it every 3 months. She's like, we're going to hone in on your blood sugar. And I'm like, what is going on? And so this is like truly providential that you're like, today I'm going to pick blood sugar. And I'm like, of course you're going to pick blood sugar, because I'm hearing about blood sugar all week. So keep the Lord's going. Like,
confirm it. Like,
literally.
Tell her she's on the right path. Okay. Yeah. Literally, I have mine on right now. Are you integrating it with your Aura app? Do you have an Aura ring?
I don't have an Aura ring, but she said it'll like sync up to like some app.
It's so Bluetooth. Fun.
She's like, it'll sync to your phone.
Oh my gosh, you're going to love it. But I've had mine on for a week and a half because I'm testing it for myself because of my blood work. And then I'm also testing it for some clients. But the reason I say that is because, which you do not need a CGM. Mari's doing it because she has a doctor that's going to watch over her and take care of her.
Yeah.
I'm doing it because this is my job. My clients will only do it if we are watching over them. I just want to say that instead of you like going and DIYing one more thing, please don't.
Yeah. Prescribe. I don't think you can just pick it up anyways. Oh, you can. Okay. Well, watch out, guys, then. Don't go do this until someone tells you you need to do this.
Yeah, because you know why? Because I literally was telling my friend that I had it on, and she was like, I think I need to do that next. And I was like, no.
She's like, no.
Do not do that because you already don't do the things that I tell you to do. And I was like, it's just going to be more data that's going to overwhelm you because if you don't know how to use data, data's pointless.
Yeah.
But if you like can see the data and then you can refine based off of it and you go, like this works really well, this doesn't, whatever. Like last night I was on my phone, which is one of my rules, but I had to check something. Mm-hmm. And then I checked my monitor really quick before bed and it was spiking, which is literally what I teach my clients. But it was the first time I got to catch it on the monitor and be like, I told you blue light raises your blood sugar. Like get off of your phone at night.
Why? I didn't know that. I've never heard that.
Yes. Yes.
Huh?
Because of the stress signal and the cortisol. The same thing with like, I've noticed on my thing, every time I get on the freeway, I spike.
Get a doctor. Driving spikes my cortisol.
I'm going to be like, babe, you have to drive me everywhere. I'm so sorry.
Wow. The more you know, guys.
Yeah. So the reason I'm going to say blood sugar is because now you're focused on eating enough protein. You're focusing on eating regularly. You're focused on having meals that are hearty and satiating. Protein is essential to your hormone health, to your energy, to you going to the bathroom, and then longer term to like avoiding things like Alzheimer's and dementia. Like having enough muscle on your body is really critical. So I would say if you had to make like one shift, it would be double the lean protein on your plate. And like start getting serious about having structure in your life, eating regular meals at regular times. Like stop making your body wonder if and when you're going to feed it. But instead, if we're like focusing on blood sugar regulation, then your body goes, every single morning we have breakfast. And a few hours later we have lunch. And a few hours later we have dinner. And then we have a nice break. This is for the intermittent fasting girlies or the people that are like, one of my clients today was like, my roommate just read a book on intermittent fasting. And I was like, tell her to like stop eating earlier instead of like skipping breakfast. You like really want to do IF, but I would say starting with the blood sugar, because now it's not just about like, what are all the things I can't be eating? It's about creating a rhythm and routine.
Mm, I love that. And honestly, it makes a lot of common sense, especially everything, what you were saying about like your body wants to know it's going to get three meals a day and that it's going to be like in a rhythmic pattern, like at a normal hour. I don't know what it is about women and we struggle to feed ourselves sometimes. I like have a friend who's a content creator and I saw her post on her story like, my husband left me a note on this little like lunch he made me and said, please eat lunch. LOL, why is that such a relatable reminder? And it's like, especially high achieving women who are busy or who have a lot going on. It's like, you're just go, go, go in your day. And then all of a sudden it's 3 o'clock and you're like, oh, that's why I feel this way because I didn't eat lunch.
Yeah. But then it's like, oh, haha. But then it's like, add that up 30 times three. And now you've given your body 100 signals over the past 3 months that like things aren't safe or that we don't have enough.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why our periods are like excruciating or we wonder why it's MIA or we wonder why like our skin is freaking out, like whatever it may be. Yeah. It's like we forget to add up that it's like the, oh, haha, like I keep forgetting, which also I think that's a great reminder of like the Lord. If he wanted you to photosynthesize, he would have made you that way. But like for whatever reason, he made you to have these internal like needs, like your sleep, your hydration, your hunger. These are internal needs to remind you that you are not self-sufficient and that you are not just like a random object that landed on this earth because like little amoeba multiplied trillion years ago. Like that is the most ridiculous lie I've ever heard. And I think sometimes women forget to live like they're human and like they have a father that like wants them to rely on him. And like, that's how you can see mealtime of it being like, oh, this is a reminder that I'm like not a ghost and I'm not a rock and I'm not like Holy Spirit Junior, but like I have to stop and I have to eat And it's like this little like moment of kind of resignation of like, okay, Lord, like whatever's going on, you can take care of it, but this is essential right now.
Yeah. And he made good whole foods and animal products so that we could feed ourselves well, because it's more than just stopping and eating, but it's like if we're eating packaged stuff, refined sugars, processed foods, seed oils, like that's not going to do any good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he didn't make you to function off of like coffee and a Celsius and a Snickers bar like that. That ain't in the Bible. You know what I'm saying?
That ain't in the Bible. That's for sure. Okay. So then what advice would you give to the women who's listening to this and is like, I relate a little bit too hard. You've definitely called me out in the best way, but I feel stuck. Maybe, you know, she's exhausted. She's confused about her symptoms. She doesn't know where to begin. She's definitely asked that question. Who do I trust? What do I do? Where do I start? What advice would you give her?
My honest answer is grab your journal and go to the chapel today and just write out. And if you're like, oh, Flo, I'm not a journaler, make yourself a journaler just for this 1 hour, because it's a really great way to slow down everything that's in your brain. And you have so many thoughts, and it pulls out one dominant thought. What is like the one thread? And if you're like, well, I don't even know what I would say, I'm going to give you a prompt. It's going to be okay. And you just like make your pen move and see what comes out. But I would sincerely, in front of the Lord, sit there and ask yourself, do I truly believe that I am made good? And like, what comes up when I see that phrase? Where is there resistance? Where is there frustration? Where is there fear? Where is there hope? Like, whatever it may be that comes up. And then the second thing is, do I believe that God wants me to be well? I think that's like a missing piece a lot of the times, that if you are pretty deep into either your disordered eating or like your period symptoms or your acne, whatever it may be, that sometimes I think we get lost in the lie that this is just a cross that I have to carry, and it would be unholy of me to like carrying it well must mean that I just have to shut up and deal with it. Whereas like the truth is like God wants you to be well, and like God wants your healing. He wants your physical healing and your spiritual healing. And it's not always guaranteed that every single thing is going to be healed, especially not on this side of heaven. Like we're going to have physical ailments, but you're allowed to try. Like you're totally allowed to care, and you're totally allowed to be like, I do need help. And like, I don't want to live like this. And I want to know what it's like to like have a good life. Like, and I think, I just want you to ask, like, do you think that God cares about your body? Because that could be like a good starting point to shift things and to start living differently. And then if you're like, okay, done and done, now give me a practical, I'd say go ahead and start. Get your phone out of your room the first and last hour of your day. Those belong to God. The first and last hour of day should be like two of the most sacred hours of your entire life. Because he woke you up again, and that wasn't guaranteed. And now you're going to sleep, and you don't know. You don't know what's about to happen there. And so like that is the time to spend time with our Lord. And it's being robbed, and it's been given over. Like TikTok is God that you need to be talking to in the morning and at night. So I'd say get your phone out of your room and delay it for the first and last hour of the morning. And your energy is going to be better. Your thyroid is going to be functioning well. Your gut is going to feel calmer. Your skin will be beautiful. You're going to feel like you enjoy life again. Totally. And that's going to be worth it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm taking that advice straight to heart next week. Starting tomorrow.
Tonight.
I'm such a Monday girl. I'm such a like, I will start on Monday because that's a fresh new start. No, we're going to start tomorrow on Friday. Because that makes total sense for my type A brain. That's fine. No, that was such good advice. You have so much wisdom to share. And I love, really, truly, I just want to tell you, like, the Lord has given you a special grace to share this information. Because the way you're speaking, there is so much gentleness and love in it, as well as just, like, the protective mama bear spirit of, like, and I need to tell you the truth. Like, and someone's got to tell you what's right, what's wrong, what's good for you, what's not, because I care about you, you know? So it's both the gentleness and kind of that firm hand that we needed to hear today. So thank you for coming on and sharing that. Do you have time for a few fun, relatable, rapid-fire questions?
Let's go. What you got?
Okay. I want to know, what is your one non-negotiable part of your daily routine?
Morning walk.
Ooh, I love that. I want to incorporate that this summer. What time of day do you do that? Like, do you like wake up and just go on your walk?
Yeah. I also like biggest health hack of all time, get yourself a dog. You have a golden retriever, right?
I do. I do. That's why I want to go, because his vet was like, he needs to shave a few pounds. He's a little chunky. And I was like, yeah, that's on
they get
me.
Fat so I'm fast.
More.
Yeah. Mine is sleeping right here at my feet. If you want the health hack of all health hacks, get yourself a golden retriever. Yep. I'm going to say golden retriever specifically because I'm a golden retriever supremacist and they're so sweet and they'll go with you anywhere, anytime. Whereas my sister's dogs will be like, but yeah, morning walk. And especially having a dog is kind of a game changer, because then it's like, I'm like hurting him if he doesn't go out first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And instead of just let, if you have a yard, instead of just letting them out into the yard, go walk them, take them. Mm-hmm. And that's your walk and his walk. But that's like a non-negotiable every single day.
So good. Mm-hmm. Two. What is your go-to nourishing meal when life gets busy? I feel like this is something we all want to know, because life is busy. So like, what's a go-to meal?
Let's say like the busiest is where I'm not even going to cook. That's like real. Like the week I come home from Zeke. So Trader Joe's, the pack of the Just Chicken, the one that's cooked in olive oil, salt and pepper. That's it. Pre-grilled. Pull it out of the box. You can eat it cold. It'll be fine. And I am a big salad girl in like the spring and summer. In the winter, I would say I would probably do that, maybe like pour it in some bone broth, chop up some mushrooms, add some coconut aminos, and now I have like a little Asian soup.
Yum.
Yep.
So good. Okay, last one. If you could shout one message from the rooftops to every woman of God, what would it be?
God made you good. He loves you. And you are like so lovable. I'll cry right now, but like, I don't think you know
how. We're both sobbing on this podcast.
I was just like, I don't think you know how lovable you are. And I think that that's part of the struggle, is that you think that you don't like deserve good things, or that no one cares like what you do or don't do. But like, one, I care, and God cares. Like, your life is so precious, and like, you're the only you. There's never going to be another you. And that's like why you have to get better. Like, it's like time. You have to focus. And that getting better might be like recovering from your eating disorder. It might be like going and praying again, like whatever getting better means for you. But like, I hope that you know how much He loves you, and that He's not mad at you, and that He delights in you, and that He made you good, and He made you for good things, and He has good plans for you.
Mic drop right there. We're going to end the podcast on that. Save that clip, everybody. Flo, thank you. Thank you for coming on today. Where can everybody find more of you and even work with you?
Yes. Thank you again for having me on, Mari. You can find me on Instagram at The Catholic Nutritionist. My website is thecatholicnutritionist.com. And then my podcast is Made Good on Spotify and Apple.
Beautiful. We'll make sure to link those in the show notes so everybody can find you.
Thank you.
Thanks, girl. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media. And give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may His praise ever be on our lips. God bless.